The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
643 podcast, just 2 short days away from opening day. Glad to be with you guys here, and excited to announce, if you guys caught yesterday's episode on the air, we are now doing 643 on the weeknights, no longer just Saturdays and just the podcast. Now, whenever the Braves aren't playing, or they have an early game or a late game, you'll be able to hear 643 on the airwaves at 680 The Fan, also on the 680 The Fan app. Let's go ahead and get right into this. So, we got the season getting underway Thursday, and it's going to be a pretty straightforward matchup. You'll have the Braves and the Nationals. Again, not sure why it is that the Braves can't ever seem to start the season at home, but it's nice that they gave them kind of a gimme matchup. Max Fried taking on Patrick Corbin, and Patrick Corbin is terrible anyway. But to be a lefty and have to face this Braves lineup and be terrible, that is an awful situation for a bad team in the Washington Nationals. That's okay. That's a them problem. Max Fried looks absolutely lights out this spring. I think we're going to see an even better Max Fried than we saw a season ago, where he was a 5-win pitcher, which is not easy to do, by the way. Max Fried, who has really established himself as, if not the best left-handed pitcher in the game, the second best right behind Carlos Rodon. And for my money, you know, you can call me a homer or whatever, but for my money, I would take Max Fried over Carlos Rodon. I think Max is the type of pitcher that sometimes the numbers don't even really illustrate just how good he is, which is even more impressive when you see his numbers, which are really good. But he's a soft contact merchant who knows how to pitch and go deep into games every time out there. Threw 185 and a third innings last year. That's a career high for him. He's got 5 to 6 pitches that he feels confident enough to use double-digit percentage points of the time. And as he gets more and more comfortable with each of those pitches, he changes his sequencing up. He changes his speeds up on all of his pitches. He is just a nightmare for opponents to have to face. I don't think that's going to change this year. And I think there's an added benefit of when you see somebody like Spencer Strider and what he's able to do and just how dominant he was, it has this effect on the rest of the rotation where it kind of makes everybody else know you got to bring your best, because there's this other kid in here who, if he's at his best, he's going to completely outshine you. And while I'm not all that certain that Max is ever going to be I'm not that certain that Max is going to end up being a Cy Young winner. I think there's a lot of competition for him in both leagues. That's not to say that he's not a Cy Young caliber of pitcher. I think if this were 10 years ago and the nature of the game was a little bit different, you didn't have so many guys who were striking out so many people, I think Max would be a Cy Young winner. I think he's kind of a throwback pitcher. And that's good in a way as well. Because I do think that Max, because he's kind of that old school type of arm, and I talked about this yesterday if you were listening on 680 The Fan, Max is a guy who's going to age really well. Not just because he's going to carry his velocity forever or whatever, but because he is a guy that doesn't even necessarily need to have his premium velocity or his premium stuff in order to pitch very well. This is how I've always kind of talked about Max. Max is an ace in baseball. He is one of the best pitchers in the game. I'd have him top 15. But he is a little bit different from some of the other aces in that he has his best stuff, like his A-plus game, probably less often than any of the other premium aces outside of maybe Framber Valdez. And that's kind of who you look at. I know there's a lot of people that think Fromber is the best lefty in baseball. Max is better than Fromber. It's not by a lot. They're very similar. But Max is a better pitcher than Fromber. And that is a very important thing because you're not always going to have your best stuff. It's important to be able to pitch without your best stuff. And in this Braves rotation, where if everything breaks out and shakes out the way that we think, Max isn't even going to have to be number one, because if Spencer has another year like he did in last season, if he has a full 170 innings, 180 innings that are the same rates as the 131 and two-thirds he had a season ago, then Spencer's going to be the best pitcher on the staff without Max ever taking a step back. That's part of the reason why this Braves team is just so dominant across the board. You've got the lineup, which could realistically have seven players hit 20 home runs. You've got a pitching staff that's got Max Fried, that's got Spencer Strider, then has Kyle Wright as the number three, and then we're talking about maybe it's Soroka who will come up in a little bit of time once he gets stretched out to be the five in this rotation. Then you go into the bullpen, which if you look at Fangraphs at all, you'll notice the Braves bullpen is far and away projected to be the most valuable. You can point to left field, you can point to shortstop, but overall, as a team, there is no weakness here. If you've got two weak spots in the lineup, that's not a weakness for the team. You're still talking about being seven deep in the lineup. And oh, by the way, I know you don't take much from spring training numbers. Starting to look like maybe left field and shortstop might not be such a big weakness as we all thought. They're the weakest areas on the team, but that doesn't inherently make them a weakness. And you've seen Orlando Arcia since he's been named the starting shortstop. And for me, that was still a very odd decision. I still don't like the way that you hyped up Vaughn Grissom and then said that it was going to be a competition in spring. And look, Orlando has been fantastic the last week and a half. Vaughn beat him out for that job. Even Brayden Schumake, you could argue, beat him out for that job. But they decided to roll with Arcia. Maybe it's because they were getting better play from left field than they anticipated. Maybe it was for some of the work on the backfield. So we don't know. The Braves aren't ever really going to tell you. They say that they wanted Vaughn. They say it's for depth reasons. I'm going to tell you, it's not about keeping Adrianza. There's a million Adrianzas out there. The Braves don't care about that. But they did not think that they'd be able to pass Arcia through waivers. They didn't want him to sit on the bench. And if Alex had said if it had been Vaughn, he would be starting every day. And if it was Schumake, he'd be platooning with Arcia. Now, maybe that still ends up happening later on. It is important to note that Orlando, while he has gotten steadily better since he's come over to the Braves, he actually was an above league average hitter last year for the first time in his career. He is a guy that typically has these big swings, and we're used to this. Dansby had the roller coaster too, but Orlando has been a little bit different. I hope it works out. I love Orlando Arcia. When the Braves first brought him over, I thought he was going to be the guy that took over for Dansby. But I still think Vaughn is the higher ceiling player. Now, Orlando's not exactly old. He's 28. He was a former top prospect. And Milwaukee, Lord knows, Milwaukee is just terrible when it comes to developing position players, particularly their offense. So it's not, I wouldn't say it's entirely his fault. He made some pretty big swing changes when he came over to Atlanta. And they've done a good job. Like, they've done a great job with him. He's looked like a totally different player. Hits the ball way harder. Everything else that goes on, I like Orlando. I kind of think he's a poor man's version of Javi Baez. And that's not me trying to be mean or anything. By the way, Javi Baez is a name I kind of watch out for. If Orlando doesn't look like he's going to be the starting shortstop, and if you could get Detroit to pay off a little bit of that money, because no way Alex is paying Javi Baez $23, $25 million. It's going to have to get under, I would assume, since Baez has an opt-out for next season, probably wouldn't be too expensive. Detroit's not going to be good. And if Orlando struggles, if I'm saying that he's the poor man's version of Baez, Baez is a guy that if you put him on a team with stakes, he plays very well. The Braves are a team that are going to be in contention for World Series for the foreseeable future. Hard to think of better stakes for that. So Baez might end up being a good fit here. We'll see going forward. But the name of the game is see what Orlando can do. And since he's been named the starter, his defense has been lights out. And that's the main part here. That's what Alex is really looking for, is get the defense done. As long as you can defend the position, he's not really as worried about what you're going to get offensively. Although with Orlando, I think he can run into 15 homers if he gets a full season's worth of at-bats, maybe even a little bit more than that. If he can be just semi-consistent, then he's got the power to go 20, which would just be, you know, an eighth player in this lineup that could hit 20. I'm not going to bet that he's going to do that. That would be a pretty significant jump from what we've seen from him. But hey, you know, roll with him until he proves otherwise. It is important to know Alex has not been wrong on any of these yet. Eddie Rosario's hitting the cover off the ball right now. Overall, the entire team, they just look like they're ready for the season to start today. For them, it's probably kind of sad that they have to wait until Thursday, because this Braves team, they are absolutely rolling on all cylinders. Now, you're going to start to see players that you've never really heard of in the lineups, as we're just 2 days away. You don't want to see an injury 2 days before opening day. But even in that case, you got a bullpen game yesterday. It was fantastic. This offense, they're absolutely clicking. The bullpen, they're all clicking right now. You've seen some that struggled a little bit this spring, but as we've gotten closer and closer to opening day, everybody looks locked in right now. It's hard to find a reason, not even to be down, but to just not be as high on the Braves as some others. I mean, I struggle to find another team in baseball that you should be higher on than the Atlanta Braves. And that's partly, I guess, I am a homer, so that's going to be part of it. But it's also, this team is just, they're so good everywhere. MLB came out with their power rankings, and they've got the Braves second behind Houston. And while I'm not going to argue or be upset about the Braves being named second, and I understand, you know, having them behind the team that just won the World Series, when you stack the two teams up head-to-head, it's kind of hard to make the case that the Braves are behind the Astros. Just, I'll make this as easy as possible here. Just looking at the two squads, do you take Jose Abreu or do you take Matt Olson? I think I would take Matt Olson. Braves fans would say Matt Olson, but let's be kind and we'll call that a push. You look at second base. Altuve is going to be out he's going to be on the 60-day because he broke his thumb in the WBC. So you're taking Ozzy there. And you're probably taking Ozzy for this season, assuming Ozzy stays healthy. Shortstop, you're taking Jeremy Peña over Orlando Arcia. So right now, we're at 1-1-1. Third base, you taking Bregman or you taking Austin Riley? Bregman's really good. Riley's better. Go into right field. Kyle Tucker, really, really good. Ronald's better. Center field, you taking Chaz McCormick? No, you're taking Michael Harris. Left field. Now, Yordan Alvarez is going to play left field for them, at least for now, as long as Michael Brantley's healthy, because Yordan is actually a better defender than Michael Brantley. So you're taking Yordan over the combination of Eddie and Marcell Ozuna, and you're doing that pretty easily. Catcher, you taking Martin Maldonado or Sean Murphy? That's not even a real question. You're taking Murphy. Get into the DH slot. Are you taking the combination of Ozuna and Travis d'Arnaud, which I would still say you should probably expect more Travis d'Arnaud than Marcell? Or you take a Michael Brantley. Brantley can still get on base. He can still swing it a bit. But there's no power in that game. And when you're talking about DH, you're talking about a power position. For my money, I would take Travis d'Arnaud for the power aspect. Now, Brantley, for as long as he stays healthy, he'll be a better overall hitter. But it won't be by much. So I'd rather have the power. So give me the Braves there. You want to get into pitching? Max is better than Fromber. Slight, but he's better. Strider's better than Javier. Again, it's not a gigantic gap. Javier's outstanding, but Strider's better. Kyle Wright or Luis Garcia? Again, really close. Kyle Wright was better. Charlie Morton or Jose Urquidy? Close. Morton was better. Fifth starter, you can't really make a determination yet. Hunter Brown could be really, really good. Schuster and Dodd have both been excellent. And then it still might end up being Soroka by the time this is all said and done. And if Soroka is Soroka, he'll be the best fifth starter in all of baseball. So rotation, you're leaning towards the Braves. Bullpen. You could argue that Raisel Iglesias and Rafael Montero are a push. AJ Minter's, or I guess you would say Iglesias and Ryan Pressly, but if you do that, Iglesias was better than Pressly. Minter was better than Montero. Jimenez was better than Abreu. You go up and down this list, and the Braves just come out slightly ahead. It's not by a gigantic margin in pretty much any area, but the Braves do come out slightly ahead. So if you're just going based off of talent on these power rankings, The Astros are an incredibly good team. The Braves are still better. Now, just because you look at them and say they've got the most talent on the field, that doesn't mean that they're going to be the best baseball. It doesn't mean that they're going to run the table and that you can automatically say they're going to win the World Series. It's a lot more difficult than that. But it's hard to bet against it. Now look, just because the Braves are, in my opinion, the most talented team, there's still a number of factors that go into figuring out who is going to be the best team in Major League Baseball. Usually we would look at your division, look at who you're going to be facing, look at the league you're in, and all sorts of things like that. This year, though, with a balanced schedule, while it's not going to even out completely, you're still going to play the teams in your division more than you're going to play everybody else, you are going to get a much better look, though, at which teams really are better. And maybe it's just a case of the Braves just match up better with the Astros than other teams do. The Braves did take a lot of the cues from their rebuild and the way they've built their organization. A lot of that was based on what Houston did, albeit the Braves front offices are much better people than the Astros. The Astros front office, they're great at what they do. They're not exactly great dudes. And I think Dana Brown is going to do a great job in changing that culture. Like, I think that tells you everything you need to know about where the Braves are versus the Astros. And again, I'm not taking shots at the Astros. I keep bringing them up because they are the example of a great franchise right now. They've been in the ALCS, I think, six straight seasons, just coming off of another World Series. They're a fantastic franchise. But I think the Braves took their blueprint and they improved it. And now the Astros are trying to improve themselves by taking one of the architects of the Braves, and Dana Brown. And that's a gigantic loss. Because when you look at this Braves team, one of the reasons why they're in this position that they're in is because they've just hit everything out of the park in terms of drafting and development. It's incredible. I mean, you look at Michael Harris, Spencer Strider. Now, I was going to say Vaughn Grissom, but that remains to be seen, I guess. But Kyle Wright, who looked dead in the water. All of a sudden, he's one of the better threes in baseball. Schuster and Dodd came out of nowhere this spring, unless you've been listening to me and you would have heard about Dodd, but came out of relative nowhere to not just win a spot on this team, but they were as good as anybody else that you could have looked around and seen in spring. They were fantastic. You look around all over the place. Austin Riley. These are guys that the Braves either drafted or developed. And Dana Brown was a big part of that, especially with the drafting. Shea Linga. Go back to from the 2019 draft onwards. It's a clinic by Dana Brown and Alex Anthopoulos. I'd be lying if I said I'm not a touch worried about how this is going to affect the Braves going forward. That is, I don't know how much of that Dana's responsible for versus how much of a hand Alex has in that. I trust Alex implicitly when it comes to anything to do with scouting. Because I've said for years now, Alex and I don't have the same strategy when it comes to the draft. Like I like a lot more of what Brian Bridges did as far as going for the higher ceiling type of guys. I don't necessarily like doing the high floor, low ceiling college bats early. That's not what I prefer. But you can't argue with results. And nobody has the same results of the Atlanta Braves, especially of the good teams. When you're picking 1, 2, 3, you're supposed to get a great player. Now, baseball drafts are a little bit different. It's not always about who the best player is. Sometimes it's about saving money to spend down the line. But I don't think there's a team in baseball that's had the success that the Braves have had as far as how quickly they're drafting guys, developing guys, and getting them up on the big league roster and then getting them extended. That's the other area of this. I'm not saying Alex can afford to take his foot off the gas, but when you look at the outlook for 2023, the reason why it's a better outlook than 2022 is just because you didn't have to make a lot of changes. Sure, you lost Dansby, but you're not making wholesale changes. It's just internal development from players that are so young in their career that you expect improvement year to year. Like what you're seeing this year could very well end up being the best Braves roster we've ever seen until 2024, when that roster could end up taking another step forward. Because you're still talking about the vast majority of the stars on this team are 25 or younger. It's absolutely crazy. I'm so thankful as a Braves fan that I get to actually watch this, Because I do remember the 90s. I remember the Braves being the class of the National League, but it was a different class of the National League. Their style was just different. Now, they won a lot of games, they had really strong rosters, and they always disappointed in the postseason because they were a team that was built, I don't want to say they were built entirely on pitching. That doesn't do their lineups justice. They had some really good lineups. But they were top-heavy. And they were teams that would struggle to hit consistently in the postseason. They were a pitching and defense wins championships type of team. And that's not how it is. Generally speaking, you got to be able to bang. If you can't bang, you're not going to win. It's why the Mets aren't going to win a World Series. If you can't hit the ball out of the yard, once you get into the postseason, all of a sudden you're facing the best pitchers in baseball, you got to be able to scratch across a couple of runs on one hit. It's just kind of how it works. This Braves team, they can play any style of game and come out on top. You want to play a 1-0 game? Fine. It's hard to beat what the Braves can throw at you, especially once you get to the seventh inning and get into that bullpen. You want to win a slugfest 8-7? All right. Hard to do that against a team that's going to have seven guys that hit 20 home runs. Could even possibly have eight if Arcia gets a full season of at-bats and is semi-consistent. I mean, it's... I don't know what you want to do. I don't know how you game plan to beat this Braves team. I guess you can hope that you get kind of lucky like the Phillies did, and everything's clicking on all cylinders for you. Or the Braves just get worn out chasing down the Mets. And that really is the story here for me. As you look into the 2023 season, the biggest hurdle for the Braves is not overcoming any singular team. It's making sure they don't get off to that slow start again. Because this is my one bone of contention. 2 years in a row now, the Braves have waited until the All-Star break, basically, to start playing baseball. You can't do that every single year. The Mets, while they're not a World Series team because they don't have the power, at least until they get smart and call up Brett Beatty, they are a good roster. They are a very good team. And if they weren't in the National League East, they would probably win any other division in baseball outside of maybe the AL West. Because I don't know that they're better than Houston. But it'd be a tight contest. And while I think the Braves are better than Houston, I don't think the Mets are that far off. I think the biggest difference between the Mets and the Braves is power. You don't want to rely on the Mets being the Mets and blowing a giant lead and being disappointing. That is not a recipe for success long term. At some point, that will bite you in the keister. And I'm not really interested in being a wild card team. I know it's fine, and you can still win as a wild card team, and the Phillies got to the World Series as a wild card team. Cool. Awesome. I want to win the division. I want to be the best from top to bottom. I want to be the best roster in baseball. I want to be the best win-loss team, and I want to go on and I want to win the World Series as a favorite. I don't really want to be an underdog. That's all cool when it works, and it's a cool story. I'd rather be the team that's on top all the way through. And this season, in 2023... outside of the Mets, who I guess you could make a case for if everything breaks their way and things don't break the way of the Braves, then fine, the Mets could take it. But outside of that, there's nobody else in the National League that holds a candle to this roster. The Padres, they're 1-4 in their lineup. You're not going to beat that. When you got Bogarts and Tatis and Machado and Soto, you're not beating that. But it's very top-heavy. The rest of that lineup, Cronenworth, Ha-Seong Kim, Trent Grisham, it's okay. Austin Nola, it's okay. It's not great, though. It's not one that you look at and think, oh, that's a world-beating lineup. That top four is. I don't want to take anything away from them. But the rest of that lineup and their rotation and their bullpen is not. The Dodgers, there's a real chance the Dodgers finish in third this year. Now, they probably won't. It's the Dodgers, so they'll call up some prospects and they'll be all-world. Maybe it's Gavin Stone. Maybe it's Bobby Miller. Who knows? Maybe it's Dalton Rushing. I don't know. Diego Cartaya. But they're going to have a fight on their hands to hold off Arizona. The Braves, they seem like a lock to me. Now, that should scare me a little bit, but it doesn't. And as we get ready to roll 2 days from now, I don't know when exactly we're going to tell. Maybe it's that next series against St. Louis. St. Louis has a really, really good lineup. They do. They don't have the pitching staff to compete with what the Braves are going to be throwing out there. But they do have an excellent lineup. They do have Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, and they are an outstanding defensive team. And again, it'll be too early to take anything away from it, really, because it'll be the second series of the season. But if the Braves come out firing on all cylinders, and they take out the Cardinals, and they look like they're just better than the Cardinals, I'll start really getting excited. You guys will have to kind of tone me down a little bit. Because if this Braves team plays a full season, last year they won 101 games, and they took 2 months off of baseball. They play a full season this year, start to finish, even with the balanced schedule, this is easily a 105-win ball club, if not more. That's the level of talent this Braves team has. That's the level that they can be. That's the level that they can put the MLB on absolute notice. I can't wait to get it started. It'll start on Thursday. The poor Nationals have to take on Max Fried, and they, in turn, are throwing Patrick Corbin. Should be a heavily advantaged Braves squad, who are great against lefties anyway, and Corbin, who might be the worst starting pitcher in all of Major League Baseball. Can't wait to get that underway. We will do an episode on Thursday. It will be a 105 first pitch, so I don't know if I'll actually get an episode up, but you will be able to hear me that night, 6 to 8 p.m., on 643 weeknights where we can cover it, and I'm so excited. But for now, enjoy the next couple of days. I know it's going to feel like it's taking forever. We're almost there, everybody. We are just under 2 full days. Y'all be good. If you listen, I'll be on 680 The Fan tonight, 6 to 8 p.m. for 643 weeknights. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back at some point. If it's not Thursday, it'll be next Tuesday. Have a good night now, everybody.
That's all, folks.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save. And save and win.
Hey everybody, Buck Ballew here, and as a recent customer of Jim Ellis Automotive and a longtime friend of the Vice President, Stacy Ellis, man, I know Jim Ellis Automotive Group takes pride in being a family-owned and operated business. I saw it firsthand. When Stacy's granddad, Jim Ellis, founded the company back in 71, his goal was to treat every customer like family by offering a car-buying experience that was both easy and fully transparent. And it worked. 50 years later, Stacy's dad, Jimmy Ellis, grew the organization to become Georgia's largest family-owned and operated automotive group. And today, third-generation family members like Stacy, along with more than 1,700 dedicated team members, are working hard to uphold the values Jim Ellis Automotive was founded on. And that's why Jim Ellis has been around for over 50 years. Enjoy the advantages of buying your next vehicle from a family-owned and operated dealership. Visit JimEllis.com or stop by any of their 20 dealerships located throughout Metro Atlanta. Jim Ellis Automotive, where you can always expect the best.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation, like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank, let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.